find you where you are on your journey today. When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the day will come when not one stone is left upon another. All of it will be torn down." And they asked him, "Teacher, when will this be? What will be the sign? And this is when this is about to take place." And he said, "Beware that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name and will say, 'I am he,' and the time is near. Do not go after them. And when you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately." And then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom will rise against kingdom, and there will be great earthquakes in various places, and famines and plagues, and there will be dreadful portents and a great signs from heaven. But before all of this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over in the synagogues and the prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance, for I will give you the words and the wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed even by your parents and brothers and by relatives and friends, and they will put you to death. You will be hated by all for my name, but not one hair on your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls." The word of life. Thanks be to God. This is probably what you got up in the morning to hear, right? I used to know what that text was about. I used to know everything. I think it's called high school. In high school, I could tell you who was going to heaven and who was going to hell. And why? I knew everything. I read the Bible literally, and I made it make sense to me. But my arrogance got the better of me. My third year in college, I received a phone call that my best friend had taken a rifle and blown her head off. And then nothing made sense. I remember shouting in a cemetery at the Almighty, "Where were you? Why didn't you take care of my friend? Why did this happen? Where were you?" Well, as Presbyterians would say, it was providential that I was taking a C.S. Lewis theology class. And in the class, we were reading a book that he had written just after his wife died called A Grief Observed. And I had an amazing teacher. And every day, after class, we had this arrangement that I would clean the blackboard. Yes, we had blackboards back then. I would put her books in her briefcase, and we would go to her office. And at this time, it was lunchtime. So she always packed an extra sandwich for me. She poured me tea, and we sat around her table. And she helped me get through that grief and put my faith back together. And now I look at that time as very sacramental because I see the symbols of that time. The bread, the cup, and the table. I used to know what this text was about. And then I finally went to seminary. And I learned Greek, and I learned Hebrew, and I learned theology, and I became an academic snob. And my arrogance was paid for by being banished to the Appalachian Mountains, teaching Appalachian students world religions. Now, I don't know if you've ever tried to teach a hillbilly kid, and they call themselves hillbillies, about Islam. Or if you tried to sit with them and meditate while we're studying Buddhism, not the easiest job. I used to know what this text was about. every single generation has been able to say, we're living in the last days. Kingdom rising against kingdom. Insurrections. If you don't think that we could make a case for that, let me throw out some words to you. Earthquakes in Oklahoma. Tornadoes in Oklahoma. 9/11. Afghanistan. Hurricane Sandy. Hurricane Katrina. We could make the case that this is it. We're living in those times. But so could my great-grandparents during the Depression and World War II. So could most of our ancestors during the Civil War. It's the end times. But those end times, Jesus said, don't worry about it. Because it's during that time when our lives are often compressed and filled with pain. And on the other side of that, our lives become new and resurrected. I don't know if you know the... Would you turn that down a little bit? It's too loud. I don't know if you know the name of the man called Thomas Dorsey. He was born in 1898, a black man, and an amazing pianist and composer. And he spent half of his life playing in churches and half of his life playing in clubs. And he decided he was going to dedicate his life only to playing in churches. So he left his pregnant wife in Chicago to go play for a revival. He got word that his wife had died after she gave birth to the son. And then he got word that the son died as well. And he buried them in the same casket. And his life was torn apart. And then, while he was seated at the piano, he wrote this song that you probably have heard of. Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on, let me stand. For I'm tired and I'm weak and I'm worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. It is sometimes in those times of persecution that our better selves arise. Are we living in the last days? I don't know. I'm not that smart anymore. Do I care? No, not especially. Because these are the days in which we're supposed to be telling our story. There was a woman who I saw on Facebook because of Donna Compton. And she was talking about coming out of the closet. And she said, we all have closets. It's not about whether we're coming out as gay or lesbian, but anytime we have to have a hard conversation, that's a closet we have to come out to. KJ saw that. She got that woman here in town. And so I went to the Cimarron Alliance and watched her work with the youth. The youth told her such painful stories about getting kicked out of their homes, about their own families calling them everything but a child of God. One boy talked about how he would like to take the Bible and put it in a microwave and destroy it. It's my sacred text. It's our sacred text. I wasn't offended that he wanted to destroy the Bible. What I was offended by was that someone had taken our sacred text and hurt him so much with it. Now is the time for us to tell our story. And when I say I want this church to grow, I realized that's why I want it to grow. Because I want those kids to know that there is a place where we teach love and safety. I want people in their 20s to know that there is a place where they can come. And whoever they are, they will be accepted because that's what Christ teaches. I want people to know in their 30s and 40s and 50s that this is a place of love. I used to know what this text was about. Today, I'm not quite sure. What I do know is that whether there are wars or rumors of wars, earthquakes or tornadoes, that nothing can keep us from God's love. The psalmist even says, if I take a ship and go to the uttermost parts of the sea, there you are. If I hide myself in darkness, you are like light to me. So, let it be banished that love is for a few people. And let us together have a clarion call that in the name of Christ, we are going to build up the church, helping those who have been oppressed and proclaiming the love of God. And that's what I think the text is about. Amen.